Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Zayin, the first parak lifnei Eidehen. The Zichu Masechet Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated Zichron Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichron Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, Shor Shapatam Mahu. What is the halacha regarding selling a fattened ox, which is unfit for work? This question is relevant according to both opinions of the Mishnah on Daf Yadad Amud Beis. Although Rabbi Yehuda permits selling a shvura, a broken animal, meaning injured and incapable of work, that may be because it can never become capable of work, whereas a fattened ox, tichi mashile, where if the buyer retains it and feeds it less, asu l'chol melacha, it comes into the category of animals capable of work, perhaps it would be forbidden. Later, Rav Ashi reports being told by Zvida, a cattle fattener, that fattened oxen, after returning to normal size, do double the work of normal oxen. On the other hand, although the Rabban prohibits selling even a shvura, that may be because it's presumably not intended for shechita because it's thin from its injuries and will instead be kept for breeding, causing people to mistakenly believe the general sale of large animals to idolaters is permitted. In contrast, a fattened ox, the stami l'shchita kai, which presumably is for shchita, perhaps even the Rabban were permitted sale. Point number two, Rav Chanin bar Rav Chisdo, or Rav Chanin bar Rava, said in Rav's name, Chaya gaza harika behema daka lepirkus. A large wild animal is like a small domesticated animal regarding convulsive movement, which is the requirement for an animal which was dying before shchita to move its leg back and forth after shchita to be kosher. Avalola mechira, but not regarding selling to an idolater. Rav holds selling a large chaya is always prohibited, like selling large behemos. Rav Chanan or Rav Chanan himself said that selling a chaya gasa to idolaters depends on the local minhag, just like selling small behemos. The Gemara said the Mishnah here prohibits selling them lions or bears or any animal, sheyesh bo nezek l'rabim, which presents potential harm to the public, implying that selling a chaya gasa, which is not dangerous, for example, a tamed lion, is permitted. Rabbi Barula answers that the Mishnah is discussing Ari Shavur, an injured lion which is incapable of work, and follows Rabbi Yehuda, who permits selling injured animals. Rav Ashi says, Stam Ari Shavur hu eitz malacha, an ordinary lion is, so to speak, injured regarding work because even a healthy lion is incapable of working for a man. A braisa explicitly prohibits selling a chaya gasa and refutes Rav Chanan bar Rava. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said, Gimel basilko hosen. There are three types of basilikas, those of idol-worshipping kings, those of bathhouses, and those of storehouses. Rava said it's permitted to help build two of these types, but not the third. A simon to remember is the pasuk lasor balchem bezikim, to bind their kings with chains, reminding us that a basilica of kings is usher to build because they judge capital cases there. In another version, Rava said all three are permitted to build. This is challenged from the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, which states, Ein boni mehen basilki gardum itstadia ubima. We may not build with them a basilica, a court building, a stadium, and a platform. This proves it's forbidden to build some type of basilica. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah should be read that one may not build a basilica of a court building, stadium, or platform. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara asks, Shor Shapatam Mahu, what is the halacha regarding selling a fattened ox, which is unfit for work? This question is relevant according to both opinions of the Mishnah on Daf Yadad Amud Beis. Although Rabbi Yehuda permits selling a shvura, a broken animal, meaning injured and incapable of work, that may be because it can never become capable of work, whereas a fattened ox, tichi mashile, where if the buyer retains it and feeds it less, asu l'chol melacha, it comes into the category of animals capable of work, perhaps it would be forbidden. Later, Rav Ashi reports being told by Zvida, a cattle fattener, that fattened oxen, after returning to normal size, do double the work of normal oxen. On the other hand, although the Rabban prohibits selling even a shvura, that may be because it's presumably not intended for shechita because it's thin from its injuries and will instead be kept for breeding, causing people to mistakenly believe the general sale of large animals to idolaters is permitted. In contrast, a fattened ox, the stami l'shechita kai, which presumably is for shechita, perhaps even the Rabban were permitted sale. Point number two, Rav Chanin bar Rav Chisdo, or Rav Chanin bar Rava, said in Rav's name, Chaya gaza harika behema daka lepirkus. A large wild animal is like a small domesticated animal regarding convulsive movement, which is the requirement for an animal which was dying before shechita to move its leg back and forth after shechita to be kosher. Avalola mechira, but not regarding selling to an idolater. Rav holds selling a large chaya is always prohibited, like selling large behemos. Rav Chanan or Rav Chanan himself said that selling a chaya gasa to idolaters depends on the local minhag, just like selling small behemos. The Gemara said the Mishnah here prohibits selling them lions or bears or any animal sheishbo nezek rabim, which presents potential harm to the public, implying that selling a chaya gasa, which is not dangerous, for example, a tamed lion, is permitted. Rabbi Barula answers that the Mishnah is discussing Ari Shavur, an injured lion which is incapable of work, and follows Rabbi Yehuda, who permits selling injured animals. Ravashi says, Stam Ari Shavur who eats a malacha. An ordinary lion is, so to speak, injured regarding work because even a healthy lion is incapable of working for a man. Abraisa explicitly prohibits selling a chaya gasa and refutes Rav Chanan bar Rava. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said, Gimel basilko hosen. There are three types of basilicas, those of idol-worshipping kings, those of bathhouses, and those of storehouses. Rava said it's permitted to help build two of these types, but not the third. A simon to remember is the pasuk lasor balchem bezikim, to bind their kings with chains, reminding us that a basilica of kings is usur to build because they judge capital cases there. In another version, Rava said all three are permitted to build. This is challenged from the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, which states, Ein boni mehen basilki gardum itstadia ubima. We may not build with them a basilica, a court building, a stadium, and a platform. This proves it's forbidden to build some type of basilica. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah should be read that one may not build a basilica of a court building, stadium, or platform. All right, so now we go to our siman daf tes zayin. Our standard siman is toes. Toes. So here goes. The builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy because they were useless in the building of a basilica stage for a king. So once again, in slow motion. The builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes. Toes? That must be one daf tes zayin. The builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Shor shel patam mahu, what's the halacha regarding selling a fattened ox which is unfit for work? The question is relevant according to both opinions in the Mishnah daf Yudalot on the base. Although Rabbi Yehuda permits selling a shvura, a broken animal, meaning injured and incapable of work, that may be because it can never become capable of work, whereas a fattened ox, where if the buyer retains it and feeds it less, it comes into the category of animals capable of work, perhaps it would be forbidden. The Gemara continues and explains the Rabbanan's reason why, although they prohibit selling a shvura, they might permit selling a fattened ox. So the builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy, which reminds us, in the discussion about whether one can sell a chaya gasa, it brings a discussion of selling an injured lion which is incapable of work. So the builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy, because they were useless in the building of a basilica stage for a king, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses which type of basilica is permitted to build for idolaters. So once again, the builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy, because they were useless in the building of a basilica stage for a king. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival, around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf permits doing business outside a city celebrating an idolatrous festival. Rish Lakish quoted Rabbi Chanina permitting even the marketplace of Azza, which was right outside Azza. In another version, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Chanina about the marketplace of Azza, and Rabbi Chanina responded, have you never gone to Tzur in your life and seen a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove? Yet the Chachamim were not concerned about their case. This ruling and analogy are interpreted in three ways. The first one being, Abai says they were not concerned the idolater would put nevela into the Jew's pot, and similarly, are unconcerned that a seller in the market is receiving money used for idolatry and biblically prohibited. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, which reminds us if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it because he appears as if he's bowing to the idol. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, and another from drinking from the pipe in the ground because of the danger of leeches, which reminds us, the Braisa concludes, similarly, one may not place his mouth on a pipe in the ground and drink because of the danger. The Gemara explains that he might swallow a leech. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simran Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, bar mitzvah boy, that must be run Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, which reminds us the Mishnah in the previous daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or hadas, which were offered before the idol, because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idol, because the pasuk Yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherem, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then deriving benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited. But mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on a kavach homer. If deriving benefit from avodah zarah is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassin says, that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema te'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted. Ikur is defined as he cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tsar Balei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a Baal HaBayis She'ena Kavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a Baal HaBayis, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a Tagar, a merchant who does collect the tax. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a Baal HaBayis She'ena Kavua, a Baal HaBayis who is not established at the fair, and the priests do not collect taxes from such a Baal HaBayis. Daf Yadal. So the simon Daf Yadal is a yad, a hand, and we often use a juggler in the simon. So here goes. The idolater juggler. Juggler? That must mean we're on Daf Yadal. Yad, hand. The idolater juggler who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf listed items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol levan, a white rooster. Rabbi Yehuda permits selling a white rooster among roosters. Rabbi Zera said that if an idolater asks, Tarnagola me, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster, because it's apparently not for a sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell him one, because we suspect it's for sacrifice. So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asked, Tarnagol levan ketula mi, if an idolater asked, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him a Tarnagol levan shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for avodah zarah, or do we say that he's being deceptive by requesting a ketua knowing they're uncommon and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner who wanted to juggle behema daka sheep was being turned away by all the merchants. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Malkum shenagolim kor behema daka lov de kochavim, in a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for al b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhag is not to sell behema daka to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. Daf tezvav. So the simon daf tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The idolater fruit bowl salesman, fruit bowl, that must mean run daf tezvav, tu b'shvat, fruit. Fruit bowl. The idolater fruit bowl salesman who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behema gasa donkey to carry his merchandise, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that it's forbidden everywhere to sell behema gasa, large livestock, to an idolater. Rami Breid Rav Yeva explained, Gezer Mishum Nisune, it's a decree because of testing an animal before the sale. Sometimes the Jew may sell an animal close to Shabbos, and the non-Jewish buyer will ask to test the animal's ability to carry. The animal will hear its owner's voice and walk with its burden, which pleases the seller, and he thus violates Mechamra Chabahemto B'Shabbos, walking after his laden animal on Shabbos. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew, refused to sell him a behemoth a donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for a shechita, which reminds us, Rav Huna once sold a cow to an idolater and explained to Rav Chisda why this was permitted. Emer lo shechita zavna, say the idolater bought it for slaughter, not for work, and the Mishnah's ban would apply to animals not commonly eaten, for example, horses, and are purchased for work, or wherever the idolater says his purchase is for work. Rav Ashi provides a rule, koheka de ikla misla talinan, wherever one can make a reasonable assumption for a leniency, we make that assumption. Va'afo gav de mitzuva, even though he's commanded regarding the property's work. If there's no reasonable assumption for leniency, he cannot even sell something which is not his own responsibility because of lifnei iver for the buyer. For example, selling farming tools to someone suspected of violating Shemitah. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemoth as a donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for Shechita, but wouldn't sell a donkey to another Jew who was suspected of selling donkeys to idolaters, which reminds us, it's forbidden to sell animals to a Jew who's suspected of selling them to idolaters, and we don't say that perhaps he's going to sell it to a Jew. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn that Rabbi Nassim says that if a Jew does forbidden business in an idolatrous market, behemoth ta'akir, a purchased animal, should be uprooted? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number two, which daf do you talk about selling a white rooster to an idolater? That's on daf Yadalit. Good. Number three. Which stuff do you discuss whether one can assume the idolater bought an animal for shechita? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number four. Which stuff do we discuss which type of basilica is permitted to build for idolaters? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number five. Which stuff did we learn that if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number six. Which daf do you learn about Unkos Agar and how he kept converting the Roman soldiers? That's on daf Yud Av. Good. Number seven. Which daf do you discuss whether it's permitted to sell an injured lion to a goy? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number eight. Which daf do you learn about the difference between buying from a merchant in an idolatrous market versus buying from a Baal Bayis She'ino Kavua? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we discuss whether it's permitted to sell a fattened ox to a goy? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf does Gemara bring proof that we date shtaros from the Greek era? That's on daf Yud. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.